This is New Media Beat on OWWR Westbury Web Radio. I'm Muhammad Duper.
And I am Deborah Flemingbaum. SUNY Old Westbury says hello.
Hey, Deborah. What's on New Media Beat this week?
I'm glad you asked. We have a lot of media news this week.
What's up first?
Our first report is about China. John DeLiso has news about China's government plans to restrict media imports from the United States.
China is threatening to ban movies from Hollywood in retaliation for Trump's 145% tariff on goods from China. Will they reduce the number of American movies on Chinese screens, or will they ban them completely?
We have AI news this week from Kat Espinal.
Kat will talk to us about the latest viral trend swirling around social media. People are generating dolls with ChatGPT. What is an AI doll? How can you make one?
We have sports media news this week from my co-host, Muhammad Duperre.
Yes, this week I'll report on the NBA's latest media deal. The NBA is partnering with X to keep fans entertained. Can you watch a game without your phone in your hand? The NBA wants you to engage with your team on social, whether you watch games on TV or not. Is social media the future of sports media delivery? After my segment, Chloe Cutting is coming to Studio A to talk about AI influencers for New Media Beat.
What is an AI influencer? Chloe's report will explain. Aren't human influencers good enough? What makes an AI influencer special? Are AI influencers the future of influencer marketing?
Hey, Deborah. Guess who is up after Chloe Cutting finishes her AI influencer story?
Who's up?
You are. What's your topic this week, Deborah?
I'm going to talk about chocolate, Dubai chocolate.
Chocolate? What's the media angle there?
Dubai chocolate has gone viral all over the world. How did social media make Dubai chocolate the most popular chocolate on the planet?
Did you bring any samples?
Sorry, Muhammad. No chocolate allowed in Studio A.
Our final report is from Ryan Forte, who covers sports media for us. Ryan is going to tell us about the Gotham Sports app. Why do New York sports fans need the Gotham Sports app? What's on the Gotham Sports app?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, Old Westbury Radio.
Let's welcome John and Lisa to Studio A. Hello, John.
Hello, Muhammad.
John, you are here to talk about the growing confrontation between China and the United States. We are fighting a trade war. Both China and our country has been imposing retaliatory tariffs. Trump wants to send a message to China by imposing a massive tariff on Chinese imports to the U.S. China retaliated by raising its tariffs on American goods to 125%. What does this have to do with the media? Well, China is striking back with a plan to reduce, restrict, or even ban Hollywood movies from China. John, why is China targeting the U.S. film industry in response to Trump's tariffs?
So the move to ban U.S. films is part of a wider response to Trump's tariffs against the country. In April 2025, President Trump raised the tariffs against China to 145%. And in response, the Chinese government hit back at the U.S. tariffs by imposing a 125% tariff against U.S. goods. And in addition to these tariffs, the Chinese government has also moved to restrict the import of American films. The Chinese Film Administration said in a statement, "Abusive tariffs on China will inevitably diminish the domestic audience's favorable view of American films." Additionally, the Beijing National Film Administration stated, "We will follow market rules, respect the audience's choices, and moderately reduce the number of American films imported."
Is China a significant market for Hollywood films?
So for many decades, China has been a significant market for Hollywood films. China is the second largest film market in the entire world, and it has been very important to Hollywood that their films get released in the country. U.S. films make approximately 10% of their total grosses in China, and many American films have frequently topped the box office in China. For instance, a few weeks ago, a Minecraft movie was the highest grossing film in China. And additionally, Godzilla X Kong was one of the top 10 highest grossing films in China, making it nearly as much as it did in the U.S. as it did in China. However, in recent years, China has cut back on the amount of American films imported due to rising geopolitical tensions. But still, many of the United States' films have done exceedingly well in China and have consistently topped the charts in the country.
Will streaming content be affected?
So the restriction will not have much of an effect on American streaming content. Most of the main streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Disney Plus are not available in China, so this restriction is only meant to target theatrically released films.
How would a ban on U.S. films affect the box office?
So this ban is likely to have a meaningful impact on the American film industry. According to Monique White, who is the vice president at California Pictures, many studios could lose a significant amount of revenue from this restriction and could limit production costs down the line. Before the restriction on Hollywood films was announced, the Chinese box office was projected to gross $7.6 billion this year. Many upcoming summer blockbusters that had anticipated having big openings in China are now contingent on the relations between the U.S. and Chinese governments.
Will it affect it at all?
Despite some in the media industry being worried about the effect the restriction will have on Hollywood, others are not worried at all. A spokesperson for IMAX Corporation said in a statement to Reuters, "We continue to expect a strong year for IMAX in China, coming off our highest-grossing first quarter ever in the country." President Trump has had a contentious relationship with Hollywood and people in Hollywood. Speaking at a cabinet meeting regarding the ban on American films, he said, "I think I've heard of worse things." Additionally, Seth Schaefer, analyst at S&P Global Market Intelligence, believes the restriction won't have much of an effect on the industry. He said, quote, "For domestic films that do get a release in China, typically less than 10% of the film's global gross box office revenue comes from China." Others are seeing the restriction as a positive thing. Many feel that Hollywood has become focused on pandering to other countries' censorship rules and feel this restriction could help Hollywood return to stories that appeal more to Americans. For New Media Beat, I'm John DeLiso. Back to you, Mohammed.
Thank you, John DeLiso. New Media Beat reporter Kat Espinal is here to talk about dolls. Kat, we don't usually talk about dolls on New Media Beat. This is a media news show. What makes this particular doll media news?
Hey, Mohammed. Well, they're not really like doll dolls. They're AI-generated dolls. And because it's related to media news, because it's all over social media, people are hopping on this bandwagon and they all want to go and try this new trend that started up.
What are ChatGPT dolls?
So they're AI-generated look-alike dolls. So they're made to look exactly like you, but in Barbie or Ken form.
What is the process of turning yourself into a plastic mini-me?
It sounds harder than what it really is, but you just go on ChatGPT and you type in a prompt similar to, "Hey, can you turn me into a Barbie doll?" or "Hey, can you turn me into a Summer Ken doll?" And you put a picture of yourself, and it AI generates you a look-alike doll like yourself.
And why is this particular trend so popular?
I mean, I don't know about you, but I would like to know what I look like as a Barbie. But I think everyone's just having fun with getting to see the different versions of themselves as these AI-generated dolls. It's like quick and fun, so I think people are just hopping on to the trend.
And what may be the negative effects of creating these dolls?
I mean, honestly, I don't think it's as terrifying as what people may think it is, but a lot of people are worried about using people's pictures without their consent, or turning someone into a doll without their consent, or even like stuff like deep fakes, like putting somebody's face on something that they didn't agree to. So that's like the biggest issue right now.
Have you yourself tried creating one of these ChatGPT dolls?
I did. It was funny. I turned my brother into one too. He was laughing, but yeah, I tried it out. It's really easy. So yeah, I said, why not?
What regulations are in place to ensure the safety and ethical use of AI dolls in homes?
I mean, honestly, I don't think there are any, like, big regulations specifically put for that. But I think as long as you know that this is, like, an AI-generated thing and it's not something that someone's creating, it's a machine that's creating it for you, and you're just using it for the right way and not trying anything malicious or anything like that, then I think it's just a really safe and fun trend. For New Media B, I'm Kat Espinal.
Hello, Mohammed. Are you ready to talk about the NBA's new deal with X?
Yes.
Are you watching the NBA playoffs? Who are you rooting for?
I have been watching the playoffs, and it's been enjoyable for the most part, but unfortunately, I'm a Suns fan, so we didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so I'm just watching the playoffs as a fan of all teams.
Mohammed, does the new deal between the NBA and X have something to do with the playoffs?
The new NBA portal was launched right before the playoffs started, which has been a lifesaver because it makes finding things related to basketball a lot easier. The NBA portal is a collaboration that the NBA has with X to make navigating basketball-related things easier. The NBA corridor provides fans with all the things they could need in one spot. First, there's a curated feed that only shows the latest posts from NBA teams, players, and networks so that you're in the loop of everything going on at the time.
What is the NBA Portal on X?
The NBA Portal is a plethora of categories, all basketball-related, that just a one-spot place to see all basketball-related things. There is a schedule where people can see the days of games and the time that two teams are playing. It also directs viewers to where they can watch the game by giving available networks that they are displaying. That was really helpful for me when I didn't know what channel to watch the game on. There's a section where fans can look at NBA standings to see what seed their team is, and also a stats section where people can get to see who leads the league in points, assists, rebounds, and a lot more. Then there's an odds section for people who participate in betting, or someone who just wants to see who is a favorite in a match.
How does this collaboration benefit X and the NBA?
This partnership is extremely beneficial to both parties. X can garner more traffic with their platform being a place where viewers can go in real time to get updates, find out where to watch games, and even determine what they should bet on. With the NBA bringing X 173 billion impressions and 14 billion video views last season, they are sure the addition of the portal will make that number much bigger. The NBA is able to market their product on a platform as big as X, and it will bring many curious X users to the NBA portal and help the NBA cultivate a lot of new fans.
Has X partnered with other sports leagues before partnering with the NBA?
X has partnered with another league before, that league being the NFL last year. Since the NFL isn't in season, there are no schedules and odds to look at, but there is a feed where you can see the latest posts from teams, especially tonight, seeing as today is the NFL draft. You can even check out the draft on the NFL portal, where they will be keeping fans updated with the latest picks.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. For New Media Beat, I am Mohamed Dukre. Back to you, Deborah.
Thank you, Mohamed. It's time to talk about influencers and artificial intelligence with Chloe Cunning. Social media influencers are a very big business. Influencer marketing is making more and more money from marketing budgets. Human influencers are very popular. But what about an influencer generated by artificial intelligence? Can an influencer be a social star? Chloe, let's start with a basic question. What is an AI influencer?
Thank you for the question, Deborah. So here's the rundown. AI influencers are basically like digital characters created using CGI and artificial intelligence. So you can think of them sort of as Sims, but with brand deals. So some AI influencer big names are Little Michaela, Shadu, and Kyra. And they have millions of followers on Instagram and X, and they've never lived a single day in the real world. So they're like designed by creative teams who script everything from their style, their personality, their captions, what they wear, everything. And honestly, they're giving some real influencers a run for their money.
So basically, they have no pulse. They're not human.
They don't.
So how are they made?
They're made with CGI and artificial intelligence, like I mentioned before. So they have more, I would say, complex software. So not necessarily something like ChatGPT that we're kind of used to as college students, but something a little more complex to, like, generate these characters.
Why are brands and marketers turning to virtual influencers, especially since there's plenty of humans willing to do the job?
I know, right? So one big takeaway is that virtual influencers don't get tired, they don't have bad hair days, and they definitely don't have any type of internet scandals or things like that. So that's definitely a plus when it comes to liability and logistics. According to an article on the Harvard Business Review, brands love the fact that they can fully control the messaging of these AI avatars. The digital creators are on brand all the time. And because they're virtual, you don't have to, like, fly them out or wait for them to post. So, like, content can literally drop in seconds. It's kind of like influencer marketing on autopilot.
How do AI influencers affect human creators and the creator community?
So, human influencers are definitely feeling the pressure from this. Some are even worried about losing some gigs and brand deals to all of, like, the agri-mythical perfect avatars that they're creating. But people still crave authenticity, you know? Like, a lot of the target audiences and people who are shopping at these brands and tuning into their content, they do want some sort of relatability to the people that they're looking to for influencing. And an article on Yahoo Tech had stated that AI influencers can look good, but, like, they don't have the lived experience and general emotions, which can make life feel a little empty, you know?
Yeah, but you also save a lot of money in medical insurance. What are the cultural and ethical implications of AI influencers?
So there are definitely some real ethical concerns here, especially around digital blackface. And digital blackface is essentially when a virtual influencer is styled to look like a black person or someone that is a part of another marginalized group, so somebody of color. But the people behind the screen aren't from that community. So the people who are creating these avatars aren't necessarily people who can really accurately tell the stories of characters that they're depicting that are from these marginalized groups. So Wired actually did a whole article on this, and it basically raised the point saying that, like, who is profiting from these digital faces, and is it really a representation if there's no actual person being empowered behind the avatar?
Are AI influencers here to stay, and what does this mean for the future of new media?
So, honestly, I would say it's just a trend. But, you know, who am I? I'm not like a media professional on AI avatars and things like that. However, I did read on Sprout Social that a lot of them are like going deeper into the metaverse, like digital shopping, AI content, and they're really like just evolving. So I think that there will be space for them in the field. But we'll see. We'll just see what's to come. For a New Media Beat, I'm Chloe Cutting.
My co-host Deborah Flamenbaum is here to talk about chocolate. Her report is about the role of social media played in making Dubai chocolate a global trend. Do you need social to sell chocolate? What makes Dubai chocolate a star? Deborah, have you tried Dubai chocolate? What is it?
No, unfortunately, I have not tried Dubai chocolate because it is really expensive. Dubai chocolate is a type of chocolate that was originally created in Dubai. It has multiple ingredients in it. It has pistachio and a bunch of threaded other things that don't normally belong in chocolate.
How has changing technology changed social media?
Changing technology has changed social media because it has given people more access to it. The World Wide Web is able to connect people all over the world. That makes people have easier access to the internet. And with devices that are easier to carry, like smartphones, you're able to access it from almost anywhere.
Who created Dubai chocolate?
A woman named Sarah Hamada invented Dubai chocolate.
What is fake Dubai chocolate?
Fake Dubai chocolate is made by people who want to make a product like Dubai chocolate based on what Dubai chocolate looked like on social media. It does not have the same ingredients as real Dubai chocolate, nor is it backed by the makers who originally started the trend.
How is a product created in Dubai being mimicked across the world in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
A product that is created in Dubai is being mimicked around the world because people saw it on social media, wanted to taste it themselves, but did not have access or the ability to travel to Dubai. For New Media Meet, I'm Deborah Flambaum. Back to you, Mohammed DeGray.
Thank you, Deborah. Let's turn from chocolate cover social media to sports. New Media Beat covers the intersection of new media and sports. Ryan is here to talk about a new app for New York sports fans. It's called Gotham Sports App. Ryan, what is the Gotham Sports App?
So if you're a New York fan in sports, there's a new app you should know about. It's called the Gotham Sports App. It's just launched, and it's the go-to spot for all streaming, all Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, Nets, Islanders, Devils, and over 500 live games available to stream straight from your phone, tablet, or even your TV. So the app was created through a partnership between MSG Networks and the YES Network, so Rangers, Islanders networks, and then the and also the Knicks, and then the Yankees network. And together they formed something called GAME, short for Gotham Advanced Media and Entertainment. It basically combines the two networks under one roof, which makes a life a whole lot easier for fans used to bouncing between apps just to keep up with the action. Now here's the deal. If you're already subscribed to MSG or YES through your regular cable provider or in your live coverage area, New York, parts of New Jersey, Connecticut, or northeastern PA or Pennsylvania, then you get access to the app for free. But if you cut the cord, don't worry. They're planning a standalone subscription option, though the pricing hasn't been announced yet. Bottom line, if you love New York sports and want a simpler way to keep up, this app might be worth the download.
What regions can access this app for free with cable login?
So you can access through it through MSG networks, YES Network, and other providers that, you know, you can log in with your cable provider and you get it for free.
And what features does the app include besides streaming?
So you can look up live stats, you can look up different, you can look up the box scores, you can do the play-by-play just by reading it, and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a pretty cool app, but considering that this is a newer type of streaming service for the New York metropolitan area, you can, you know, do a whole lot more than just streaming.
So would you personally prefer this over cable streaming?
Definitely 100%. I mean, I could definitely bounce back. I'd rather look at the Gotham Sports app having multiple windows on my TV than watching flipping back cable, channels back and forth. For New Media Beat, I'm Ryan Forte, and back to you, Muhammad.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for hosting with me, Deborah. I think we did pretty well.
Thank you, Muhammad. It takes two hosts to make a great show, and you are one of them.
Thanks for listening to New Media Beat this week. New Media Beat is co-produced by Jaden Nunez and John DeLiso. Our engineer is Jaden Nunez. My co-host is Deborah Flammenbaum.
Today we heard reports from Chloe Cutting, John DeLiso, Muhammad Dupre, Kat Espinal, Deborah Flammenbaum, and Ryan Forte.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR, OWestbury Web Radio, and the Media Communications Department here at State University of New York at OWestbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest posts at newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all our podcasts.
Stay tuned for more great programming coming up next on OWWR, OWestbury Web Radio.